You've tuned in to the Crispy Noodle Podcast.
You realize what you've done?
With Rich Liebig.
The real gangster plays his cards, right?
And Michael Costanzo.
What was that that you just read?
Let us be the crispy noodle in your vegetarian salad of life and boring news.
Good times, noodle salad.
The point is, you now have the ability to be happy.
And now, here's Rich and Mike on the Crispy Noodle Podcast.
What's up, everybody?
It's time for this week's episode of the Crispy Noodle Podcast. Let us be the crispy noodle in your vegetarian salad of life and boring news. Folks, it's our job to give you the most interesting bits in world sports, entertainment, odd news, and whatever else we happen to stumble across. Isn't that right, Mike?
That's right. And we bring it to you with our unique sense of humor and wackiness. You never know what you're going to get here on the Crispy Noodle Podcast.
Nope, you never know what exactly you're going to get. We do have a lot of topics to get to. On this fantastic episode coming your way. We've got the finale for the season of football coming up.
Yep.
We've got to review one of Mike's favorite movies, if you can see from his shirt. Oh, wait, no, you can't. There you go. It's got the red emblem on it.
Spider-Man.
We got that coming. And, of course, we got odd news. So there are plenty of topics to delve into. But before we get to all of those, Mikey, my friend, how are you doing? How were the holidays?
Spider-Man.
All right, fantastic. All right, he's just not going to get off of it.
No, the holidays were good. We didn't get a chance to talk about
Spider-Man.
Spider-Man. No, we'll get to that later. The holidays were good. We didn't get a chance to talk about it on the show because we were off. But we did the Feast of the Seven Fishes, as is tradition. Yep.
Tradition.
We were very busy. All over the place, bouncing from one house to the next seeing lots of family and friends. It was a good time had by all. And then on New Year's Eve, we went back to that train thing that I talked about previously.
Oh, yeah. The train that does like a little meal or wine and cheese.
Yeah. It's this train that they call it Secret Valley something or other. It's the Colebrook Dale train station in Boyertown, PA, and takes you in the middle of the woods, and then it takes you back. It's this old industry rail line that they refurbished from like the mid-1800s, and they basically did the entire train, all the cars, in like a Roaring Twenties style New Year's Eve party. So yes. It was a lot of fun. Each car had different foods and drinks, and you basically, you know.
Well, I guess for New Year's, they would have had to have a little champagne for you, a little bit
they
of
the
bubbly.
They had some champagne.
Ah, the French champagne has always been celebrated for its excellence.
Yeah, did you get that way at the end? Excellence.
The lady next to us absolutely did.
Oh, yeah, you little female Orson Welles there.
Ah, the French champagne has always been celebrated for its excellence.
Excellence.
So everybody was having a good time.
Mrs. Welles was there.
Mrs. Welles was there. She was perfectly fine and pleasant. It was so funny, though, because it's getting down to it. You know, it's like 11:50. And everybody's kind of just like sitting at their little table. They're mingling with their own little groups. And she goes, 10 minutes! She screams it at the top of her lungs. Everyone's like,
ah, the French champagne has always been celebrated for its excellence.
Yeah, there you go. But she's keeping in tradition with Orson Welles.
She truly is. But then she proceeds to do it on the minute, every minute.
Ah, the French champagne has always been celebrated for its excellence.
Rich, you would have loved it. She said, 9 minutes! 8 minutes! And I'm like, what is happening?
Ah, the French champagne has always been celebrated for its excellence.
There you go. You're sitting next to Mrs. Orson Welles. You didn't realize it.
Speaking of,
were next to Hollywood royalty.
I was rubbing elbows with Hollywood royalty. But speaking of champagne, at one point she goes, my family left me. They don't want to hang out in this car. They're in the other one, so I got to drink their champagne. She's just drinking everybody's champagne. We're like, oh, my God, lady.
Ah, the French champagne has always been celebrated for its excellence. The French champagne has always been celebrated for its excellence.
Yeah, there you go. You were living the high life. Missing Orson Welles next to
we
you.
We were doing something. But it was a good time. It was a really good time. It was very enjoyable. So I highly recommend that to everyone. Come next year, because obviously it's a once a year deal.
Well, I mean, you can do it throughout the year. It doesn't have to be right.
Yeah,
on New
you can
Year's,
you can you can ride the train at any time. But specifically, the New Year's thing obviously is New Year's. And then other than that, just spent a lot of time watching TV, playing video games, just resting and relaxing. I got to watch Only Murders in the Building on Hulu.
Yes, fantastic show.
Absolutely fantastic. Strongly recommend it. The Harry Potter 20th
reunion special
thing,
yep.
which was also very good. I watched some less good shows like Matrix Matrix Resurrections. Only made it through an hour. Decided it just wasn't my cup of tea. I thought Wachowski got a little too high on their own supply. I'm like, you guys don't know what's good for you. It's just it was just too much. It was too self-aggrandizing, too on the nose, too meta. Like, a little bit of meta's good.
I'm a special kind of white guy.
that's Neo in that game.
Yeah.
I'm a special kind of white guy.
Basically. I only made it through half of that. Maybe I'll go back and watch the rest of it, but I don't know.
Yeah, I liked it, but, you know, my bar was really set low for that movie.
Yeah.
I wasn't expecting much.
Yeah. But, yeah, it's a rough watch. I'll just say that. But that's what I did. What were you up to this holiday season?
I mean,
we haven't spoken in a while.
Yeah, we've been off this past 2 weeks. But yeah, pretty much similar. I caught up on some movie and TV shows during the break. Hung out with family. We did the Seven Fishes as well.
Of course.
Went to a friend's party for New Year's Eve.
Nice.
Got to celebrate the new year. It's funny. It felt like a long time since we last did the podcast, but personally, it doesn't feel like it's been a long time either. Like, I feel like I blinked and the holiday break just went.
Yeah, it just, well, because it's so busy.
Yeah.
Like, I'm like, I'm going to rest and relax. And I got maybe like 2 days where I didn't have like anything going on. Every other day I was like visiting somebody or going to some party or going to some function or preparing for said party or function. I was like, oh my God. I mean, it was like 4 days in a row for me because I did Christmas Eve, Christmas Day, and then Boxing Day with Jordan's parents.
Yeah, this is something. Yeah, your girlfriend's parents are trying to do Boxing Day as a holiday.
Yeah, because so everybody else has very strong Christmas traditions. And so they're like, we don't want to interfere with, like, say, like Christmas Eve.
Right. You don't want to take away a day that already... Right. People already have family plans.
Right.
And stuff
it's
like that.
It's already kind of established. So they're doing Boxing Day.
Boxing Day is going to be the
big
thing.
So we just get together. We bring over.
And you fight them.
Everybody has to bring their own pair of boxing gloves.
Yes. Fight them.
And just duke it out. Yeah.
Yes. There you go.
And oh, good for you.
That actually determines who gets to eat that day. If you lose the fight.
There you go. The battle begins.
No food. If you lose, no food.
Very dramatic.
Very, very dramatic.
Battle scream.
That was me.
That's
because,
the battle scream.
Yeah, that was me because I will not be deprived of food. No, it was really good though. We brought a whole bunch of canned and boxed goods to donate. I think that's one of the things you do on Boxing Day is you don't make charitable donations. So we brought some food to donate to the local food shelter. We played games. We had food. It was just a good time had by all. So that's something new that we're going to be doing.
There you go.
Just keep on lengthening the holiday season, which I have no problem with.
Yeah,
longer. I say keep the feasts and the good times rolling, you know?
There you go. Well, in the middle of all the holidays and stuff, there were significant news stories that happened. So I think it's about time we get to them and give you our opinions and reactions to all the news stories. A lot of them in the sports world. So even though this is the sports sampler, this is more like a sports first course, if you will. But nevertheless, we will launch into it with the sports sampler.
So you're not good at sports. It's a very small part of life.
Sports, 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 sports.
In your face. Ha ha.
sports coming at you in your face, but it's all football related to Mike's happiness and his content.
It's motherfucking goddamn sons of bitch and fucking football.
Oh yeah, man, it's football all the time. We're getting in the crunch time near the end of the season. This is this is where things are on the line, playoff positioning, maybe some players could be at the end of their careers at the end of the season. I mean, this is it. This is the home stretch. But boy, one news story that I did not expect to happen, even though it is Antonio Brown, I did not expect things to happen like this. We got to talk about this. Antonio Brown just straight up quit and in diva fashion, almost stripped down to just his pants in this news story here during the Tampa Bay Buccaneers game against New York Jets. This is crazy. As of right now, as of this recording, he is actually still technically on the roster. The general manager has not waived Antonio Brown, but according to head coach Bruce Arians and by the sentiment from the locker room, it seems like he's good as gone after Brown had his little hissy fit and threw his and tripped down into his pants and went onto the field, which that is conveniently being left out. That Antonio Brown walked onto the field while the game was actively in motion.
That's a penalty.
That should have been a penalty.
That's 12 men on the field.
Right. That should have been 12 men on the field. So just bonkers. I mean, this is one of those things like I wasn't expecting it, but at the same time, knowing that it's Antonio Brown, it's not a surprise.
This dude needs to be done with football. Like, after all of his shenanigans, I don't even know what was it. It was a few years ago. Was he on the Raiders? Then he wasn't on the Raiders.
That was only like 2 years ago.
Was that 2 years ago?
It was before 2020. So
are you sure it wasn't like
ago?
5 or 6? It feels like a century ago.
It was not that long ago.
Jesus. Yeah, he was like on the Raiders. Then he decided, I don't want to be on the Raiders anymore.
Yeah.
And he threw like a whole fit about, wasn't it a helmet?
Yeah.
He can get the right helmet.
Right, yeah.
And so he caused a whole stink.
That was only like 2 years ago.
Oh my God. And then he was on... No, first he was on
the Steelers. He got drafted by the Steelers.
Right, yeah. And then he had a falling out with them, and everyone's like, oh, man, they're trading him for almost nothing. That's crazy.
Yeah, they traded him to the Patriots.
Why would they do that?
At Tom Brady's behest, Brady was looking out for him back in New England.
Wait, he went to the Patriots after the Steelers, or they went to the Raiders after the Steelers?
He went to the Patriots. At some point, he was on the Patriots.
Yeah, yeah.
I think that was...
Oh, my God. This is the perfect example of why he just needs to be done with football.
Yeah, like, it's just...
His career's
back
been...
Back and forth.
We're not playing it up for laughs. It's really been that odd.
Yes. I think it was Steelers, Patriots, Raiders, Buccaneers.
It was Steelers, Raiders, Patriots, and then Bucks. Yeah.
Okay. So I had the middle mixed up. All right. So I went from Steelers, yeah. Raiders, Patriots, Buccaneers. Yeah. Just bouncing all over the place.
Yeah. So he had arguments with Ben Roethlisberger following the season. Reports surfaced indicating his dissatisfaction with his role in the Steelers, and he requested a trade. So they agreed to trade him to the Raiders for a third and a fifth round pick. Now he was the best receiver in the game at that point.
Yes.
And I remember talking about this this was in 2019. We could probably go back and check the episodes about how it's like weird that they only got that little compensation. A third and a fifth were one of the best wide receivers in the game. And I think we both said at the time, there's got to be something else going on here.
And this is it.
I don't think he played any games for the Raiders because he was released by them in September that year. He was only there from March to September.
He was there for training camp.
He was there for training camp.
Because he was on Hard Knocks, which was bizarre. That was must-see television, was seeing Antonio Brown behind the scenes on Hard Knocks with his goofy antics. There was also the thing where he froze his foot. Remember that?
Yeah.
He froze his foot wrong or something. Like,
yeah.
Oh, my God.
And then with the Patriots, he faced allegations of sexual and personal misconduct.
Yeah. This has just been a nightmare.
I think he quits. He was cut by the Patriots. And then I don't know what happened.
And then the Buccaneers picked him up.
And then the Buccaneers picked him up, yeah.
Because Tom Brady was his best friend.
Yeah, because he was cut by the Patriots 2 weeks after he signed with them.
Look, here's what you really need to know. Brady stuck up for Brown twice. Once in New England, once with the Buccaneers, and Antonio Brown still couldn't make it work. I don't know where you go from here. Like, if he's actually trying to have a career in football, he's only 32, right? He's still got a couple years left in him. If he's really going to try and make a career out of this, where do you go after this? You couldn't work with Tom Brady.
Yeah, I mean, he's 33 right now. 33, he's still, excuse me. But in today's NFL, he still has another couple years, maybe, especially since he didn't play much of the last couple of years.
Yeah.
I think he's done. I mean, he is solidifying himself as a cancer on whatever team he goes to.
Yeah. The only team that I could see, I'm going to put this on the record, the only team that I could see Antonio Brown joining up with after this chaos, after this monstrosity of a demonstration of stripping down to his pants and running onto the field and all this nonsense, the only team that I think that would take another chance on him would be the Dallas Cowboys. This reeks of a Dallas Cowboys player that they would go for another troubled wide receiver, even when they're already stacked at wide receiver. It would just be another way to burn the Eagles too whenever they would face off against them. They're known for kind of looking the other way when it comes to player conduct.
Yep.
It just seems like a match made in heaven that he would go to the Cowboys if he actually does get cut by the Buccaneers.
This absolutely sounds like a Cowboys move.
Yeah.
They're drawn to high talent, low character people.
Yeah. Unfortunately though, as of this recording, the general manager of the Buccaneers has not waived him. So if that stays, then Brown has to just sit down and shut up. There's nothing he can do about it. But we'll see how long that takes. I bet you if that is the case, I bet you he doesn't stay silent for very long. Okay, so that was the crazy news that happened on Sunday. How about we get to more regular news that we would cover? How about our own Philadelphia Eagles?
Where are my Eagles?
Yep, we got to let you know how the Eagles are doing.
Right.
Where are my Eagles?
And it wasn't looking good in the first half of this game again. God, the Eagles need to play two halves. I mean, this is starting to get ridiculous. They always start out slow all the
time. They do. Every single time.
Yep. But the Eagles rallied in the second half and were able to defeat the Washington No Names 20-16. And with that win, plus a couple of other things that happened, the Eagles have, I don't know how they did it, but they have officially clinched a playoff spot.
Woo! Mamma mia! Yeah!
What does this guy think? He's an Indian?
Like, fresh eyes?
She's human!
Yep, they proved me wrong. I thought the Eagles were going to go 6-11 this year, but now they're sitting at 9-7 and have clinched a playoff spot. Mike, what do you feel about this? How does this make you feel?
Confused.
Yes.
I was not expecting this at all earlier this year. We disagreed. You said they were going to win six or less. I said they can win at least seven. They end up going at least 9-7. They're going to have an above 500 record no matter what happens this upcoming weekend.
Yep.
Neither of us saw this coming. I don't know how to feel. At one point in the season, I was so upset with the team. I'm still kind of upset with the team. I don't think that the record really represents the talent that we're putting on the field, and I don't think that I don't think certain players are the answer at their positions.
Jalen Hurts.
Well, not just Jalen Hurts, but maybe Miles Sanders as well. Jalen Reagor. There will be at some point a reckoning, because you know my opinion of these middling teams. It's not sustainable. At one point in the season, I was excited that we had the prospect of getting three top 10 picks. Now the highest draft pick we'll get is 14 from the Dolphins, which is still not bad. Top half of the first round, but it
could have been a lot better.
Could have been a lot better. Because now, you know, here's the thing. I'm never excited when the Eagles are 8-8, 9-7, 7-9, somewhere in that area, because like, now 10 and or whatever.
Yeah.
You know what I mean.
Middle of the pack.
Middle of the pack, yeah, because they're not going to be good enough to go deep in the playoffs. I don't think they deserve to go deep in the playoffs. They really struggled against some really poor teams this season. So all it does is lower our draft stock and prevent us from really building, you know? And it'll be exciting that they're involved in it, you know, get to watch at least one playoff game. But, you know, we're going to catch, like, the Buccaneers first. Or, you know, like the Cardinals, and
well,
just going to get absolutely wiped by
them. Well, 10 minutes ago, off air, you told me that that might be the best thing for the Eagles.
Look,
to go deep.
Off air, Mikey, is a completely different. No, I mean, so to comment on the conversations off air, Tom Brady cannot play against NFC East teams. He's only beaten.
In the playoffs,
he just is atrocious. Even last year when they had their run, they barely beat the Washington football team.
That was the closest game out of their run
to
the Super Bowl.
That was the closest game. And the Washington football team was starting Heineke for the first time ever. I still don't even know who this guy is. Washington's like, he's the guy. Okay.
We found him off the street.
Yeah, you know.
Good luck.
Exactly. What's popular in D.C.? It's not Wawa, but it'd be the D.C. equivalent of finding a guy at Wawa. It'd be like, hey, you want to play some pro football?
A guy at 7-Eleven.
Guy at 7-Eleven, yeah. But this guy gave Tom Brady and the Buccaneers a hard time. So if the Eagles catch the Buccaneers first, and the Eagles' defense has been stepping it up recently, who's to say we can't have an upset? Then all of a sudden, it's a different conversation. Then all of a sudden, we're in the divisional round. You know, I don't know what to think.
What do you do?
I was not prepared for this outcome. Okay. I was prepared for the Eagles to go like 7-10 and me to be pissed that they were a middling team and on the bottom and, you know, the under 500. I was not prepared to talk about playoffs this season. I was like fully committed to a losing season. I was fully committed to looking forward. And now I can't look forward. I have to look right here and right now to the Eagles being a playoff team.
Yep.
I don't think they were prepared for this, judging by the way they played this season at some points.
I don't think so either. I don't think anybody really thought the Eagles are going to make the playoffs here.
Give me your reaction. How do you feel about all this?
Man, I don't know. I don't know football. This is crazy.
So you said they were going to go six wins.
The way that this team was structured, between a new head coach, a new quarterback, new defensive schemes, it just didn't seem like this was all going to mesh up. But they've put the pedal to the metal here. But also, again, though, they come out slow. They come out so slow in the first half of these games. That's just not – good teams just don't do that. So, yeah, I'm with you. I don't know how to feel about this team, whether or not I should be remotely hopeful.
Do you buy in? Like, have you bought into the 2021 Eagles?
No. No, the answer is no.
Yeah. Is this fool's gold?
I think so. But at the same time, they're in the playoffs now. 9-7. They could, if they beat Dallas, they would actually have double-digit wins this season.
That's insane.
Yeah.
I don't think we can beat Dallas, but I didn't think we could do a lot of things this year.
Yeah. So it's a,
if we had beat the Giants, we'd already be doubled. Like, that is insane. I don't think they're that good.
No, but with the way the season has gone, they're here. They're here, and they're not going anywhere. At least for the next 2 weeks, they're going to finish out the season next week right here in Philadelphia, Saturday Night Football, and then they've got the wild card game. So they are guaranteed at least two more games. It's happening whether you want to or not. With that in mind, how about we get to the future games that we have on slate, the ones that will matter this week with our fantastic four picks. And boy, there are a lot that didn't matter. So we made sure to pick out the ones that did matter here. So here we go. Fantastic four pick time. Mike, What are we going with for the first one on the docket?
All right. First up, we have a little bit of an AFC North division rivalry. The Pittsburgh Steelers are facing off against the Baltimore Ravens. I think there's a slim chance of one of these teams making the playoffs, but it is a slim chance indeed. Nevertheless, this is a heated division rivalry. Ben Roethlisberger's probably last game as a Steeler.
Yeah.
Does he win his final game as a Steeler against a division rival?
No, I think Big Ben.
Ouch.
Yeah, no. Big Ben had his moment on the Monday night game against the Browns. That, I think that was more of his farewell. That was at Heinz Field. That was a victory against another division rival. That one also ended with a last-second interception that allowed Big Ben to actually go onto the field and take a knee to officially end the game. To me, that's his storybook ending. I don't think this is it. The Ravens' defense is still pretty strong. Ravens going to be nice and comfortable at home, too. I think this is more of a game for the Ravens here than it is the Steelers, who are in the process of mourning and saying goodbye to Big Ben.
Yeah, both these teams are on the very outside looking in to the playoff hunt. A couple teams ahead of them. I think you're right about the Steelers and Big Ben and not being able to get it done here against the Ravens.
Yeah.
And I think that's all there is to it. The Steelers had a very rocky season.
Yeah, and it just seems like emotionally they're spent. The last game on the Monday night was the big one for them. They wanted to win that one.
Yeah. So, right, the fact that this is on the road, there's not much at stake here. I think the Ravens are going to win this. I think the Ravens are more aggressive, more hungry. I think the Steelers are tired, a little bit old, a little bit spent. I think the Ravens win this one. It's going to be a tough one, but I think the Ravens win.
Yep.
Next up, we have a team trying to stay alive. The San Francisco 49ers are traveling to LA to face off against the Rams. If the 49ers lose this game, they could see themselves out of the playoffs altogether. Right now, they're at the sixth seed, but they have the potential to fall all the way out of the playoffs with a loss and maybe a few other things happening here. So, Rich, can they get it done?
Yeah, this is one of those quirks with the new seventh seed in the wild card, where you have a situation like this where the 49ers, right now, they're in the sixth spot, but with a loss, they would fall all the way down to eight and therefore be out of the playoffs. So very interesting scenario here. The Rams, on the other hand, they need a win to try and win the division away from Arizona, which they still could. This is going to be a tough battle, and when I checked my sports book, the Rams were originally favored by 6.5. It's fallen all the way down to 4. So a lot of money came in on the 49ers.
Wow.
Giving them hope. I don't see it, though. I think the Rams going to be at home at this with something to play for, with the chance to possibly win the division and get a home game. I think that's a lot of motivation there to pull this one out. I know the 49ers are basically on life support if they lose this game, but I think the Rams are a more complete team, a more hardworking and grittier team. I think the Rams take this one. And I'm going to wait till game time to bet on this, because the point spread keeps dropping.
So this is one to watch in terms of betting.
I mean, it went from 6.5 to 4. Go ahead, guys. Keep betting the 49ers. I'm going to take the Ravens at the last or the Rams at the last second.
Wow, okay. You know, I agree. They are a more complete team. Even though the 49ers have shown a lot in the second half of the season, clawing their way back, I'm so torn on this one because, yes, the Rams are at home, but that's not really a home field advantage. But, no, I mean, it's something to consider. You know, other teams, home field advantage, but typically these L.A. teams, it's not. And especially with another California team, it's really not that big of a home field advantage. I think the 49ers here could potentially sneak away with a win here. They come into LA. It's not really home field advantage for LA. They have a lot of their fans showing up. They know the importance of this game. They know that they can drop straight out of the playoffs. They're going to be hungry. They have nothing to lose. They have everything to play for. The Rams have a playoff spot locked up. Yes, they can push for that number one seed, but why, if the going gets tough, why risk it all in this game against a division opponent when you can just say, you know what, you know, have it. We'll just slip into the playoffs. I think the Rams players, maybe not the fan base, maybe not the coaches, but the players, they might, you know, they might go a little bit easy on this one. I think the 49ers have to want it more, because if they don't, they're done.
Yep. All right. I like the Rams.
I think that's why
side.
There's money coming in on the 49ers.
All right. But I'm going to wait till the end. I'm going to see how low that point spread drops.
I might join you in betting on them.
Okay. But... all right. Now we're getting interesting on this. All right.
My money tells the truth of where of who I think is going to win. I'm going with Niners anyway. Next up, we have another playoff-bound team here. Two playoff-bound teams here. The LA Chargers traveling to Vegas to face off against the Raiders. This is a Sunday night primetime game.
This is basically a playing game.
Yep. Win and in the AFC West. Rich, who makes the playoffs and who stays home?
Yeah, this is basically a playing game. Unless there's one scenario where they tie and the Colts lose, then both of them get in on a weird tiebreaker, which would be interesting, but nevertheless, let's assume that 1% chance doesn't happen and this is a playing game. It's Chargers at Raiders, heated division rivals. I'll tell you what, man, the Raiders have rallied around their coaching staff and Derek Carr. I mean, they've had a lot of tragedy happen on this team this year, between losing John Gruden, losing Henry Ruggs. I mean, this team has had a black cloud, literally and figuratively, over their heads. And yet they don't go away. They are still in this to the very end. I like the Raiders story. I'm rooting for the Raiders in this one. I hope they pull this off and get a playoff berth in spite of all the madness that has been going on here.
I mean, you do make a good point. They have really rallied. But I think the LA Chargers, I think on paper, are still just a better team, and you can only ride those good feelings and that positivity so far. I think just talent-wise, the Chargers have the slight edge, so I'm going to go with the Chargers, even though they're a road team. I'm liking the road teams here.
All right, there you go. And one more left.
That's right. We have our very own hometown Philadelphia Eagles playing host to the dreaded Dallas Cowboys. I might actually be at this game, so it'll be interesting to see what happens. Now, the Eagles have 12-plus players on the COVID list right now.
That's not a good sign.
Given the new guidelines, they may be able to come back, but, you know, it's going to be tough. There's also talk maybe Nick Sirianni sits some starters, knowing that they're in the playoffs. They really can't move much up in terms of seeding, move up one spot.
Yeah,
is it worth
really
it?
Doesn't really matter.
Dallas, meanwhile, 11-5. Do you risk it going up against, you know, this surging Dallas team to potentially injure already COVID-infected players? Rich, who wins it?
Yeah, it's going to be Cowboys. I'm sorry. This one's going to be Cowboys. Eagles have too much with COVID happening. They don't, you know, like you said, it's really difficult for them to move up in the playoff rankings. I think Cowboys take this one.
Eagles.
Oh, there you go. Mike, you have to be contrarian. There you go. Is it just because you're going to be at the game?
Well, I'll give you a few reasons. One, it's because I'll be at the game. I have not been in an Eagles game where they lost.
Oh, really?
So I saw the Cardinals game during the Super Bowl run.
Yes. I picked you up from that game.
Yes, you did. That was a wild day. I saw them play Dallas in 2019. They beat them then. And I saw them beat the Saints this year.
All right. Oh, so there you go.
So,
the good luck of
so
Mike.
So the good luck, yeah, of me, they will win because, point the second, Philadelphia always does the opposite of what they're supposed to do.
Yes.
And Philadelphia is also a very heart-driven team. They are flowers springing up from the ground, and they are blossoming.
Oh,
they're very heartful and heart-filled.
Oh, boy.
So they are going to look for the emotional victory here, even though it literally doesn't matter at all.
Mike Sirianni over here.
Mike Sirianni, that's right. I am channeling my inner Sirianni, and I'm going to say that the Eagles are going to win because they play, you know, for the emotional victories, and this would be an emotional victory, even though it literally doesn't matter. They're going to get starters injured and COVID-ed.
COVID-ed?
But yeah, it's yeah.
All right. Well, there you go. That's our Fantastic Four picks for the final week of the NFL season. By the way, that's the last time you're going to hear the techno music, because after this point, I start playing the dramatic music for playoffs. So,
and the sports segment gets very stressful.
Yes, it does. Before we wrap up the sports sampler, there's one more thing we got to get to, and this was definitely some sad news that hit the wire. You know, everybody was talking about Betty White dying this past, you know, right before the new year happened, and everybody was sad over that, and that is something to be sad about. But for me personally, the bigger death was the legendary John Madden passing away.
Agreed.
It was, you know, John Madden's been has been football, as far as I'm concerned, you know, ever since I learned the game, you know, between his coaching career, his ability as a commentator, and then, of course, his involvement in the video game franchise. I mean, to me, he is Mr. Football, and it's very sad to see that news bulletin that came up that announced that he had passed away at the age of 85. Just a lot of good memories thinking about John Madden, especially on the in the commentary booth. Any memories that you have? And by the way, and of you impersonating him in one of our videos as well.
That's right. I forgot I do a Madden impersonation. Yep. Man, so I mean that tells you all you need to know about me and Madden is so. For me personally, basically, he taught me everything I know about football.
Yeah.
Between the commentary, I mean, the voice of football there for a long while. But for me, it was, this is going to sound weird and gimmicky, but the Madden video games in the early 2000s basically taught me the ins and outs of
no, that's not weird. Yeah.
Of like different coverages and, you know, how players line up and different packages and what to look for. Like, it's weird, but those video games taught me most of what I know about football that I still, you know, think back on today.
Yeah, you know what a cover two is.
Yeah, I know what exactly. It was all because of, you know, Madden's suggestions and the
Ask Madden.
And the Ask Madden feature, you know.
It's third down. Would you like to punt?
But, you know, I don't think there's one memory in particular. I think the one line that I love the most is when he said, half, what is it? 80%
of
all football
is
half mental.
Yep.
So I don't know if that means 40% or what he was going for. But I loved Madden's, you know, Madden-isms.
Yes, that's what really... I think is like the first thing most people think of,
and the drawing on the with the yellow marker. Like, you don't see that anymore.
No. As a matter of fact, I had to pull up a couple clips. I wanted to remember the legend himself.
Okay.
So I was able to record three classic Madden clips here. The first one I'm going to go with is called The Bucket. So if you are listening to the podcast on the audio feed, you'll hear the audio of it. But if you're on the video feed, you'll actually get the video of him drawing. So here's the first clip, The Bucket.
There's, we see the buckets. Now there's a third bucket this week. I think what happened, there's always been, there's always been like a mother and father. Like, this is a father bucket. This is a mother bucket. And since the last game, they had a baby bucket. So this is a baby bucket. So they got three now. There always been two. One's going to go to Parcells. One's going to go to another assistant. And one will go to a player later in the game.
I guess that clears up the question as to whether they're married or not.
Well, yeah. Well, they got married. Yeah, they got married in that baby bucket.
That's the bucket.
Well, the other, I mean, the bucket, you know, that's how big it is. I mean, third year in the league. And then you ask questions like, is it married? Yeah, bucket's married. Bucket, you got a family bucket? Yep, got a baby bucket. And then brought the ice because we're in California. Family.
Heavy ice.
See, the baby can't sit up there with the mom and dad, though.
So there you go, the bucket.
I just want to point something out to audio listeners specifically, because they're not getting the full impact of this. There are plays actively happening.
Yes! That is something that we have to mention.
He's going on about this bucket. He's drawing circles and
this
lines
is,
on the
this is not happening like during a timeout or halftime.
Like a player reeled off like a significant run to the outside, and Madden's like, "Are the buckets married?" He's talking about the Gatorade buckets, by the way.
Yes.
But that is just, it's brilliant. You don't get commentary like that anymore. Now all they do is talk about the plays and the players and yada yada yada. I want to know more about the buckets.
Yeah, well, guess what? You're in luck, because not only do I have a clip about buckets, but I also have a clip about blimps and cameras in
blimps.
So here you go, another clip here for you.
You don't see a lot of indoor blimps.
No, I know it. And see what it is it's a tethered blimp. See this here? It's tethered. These lines hold it still, so it stays there. This means nothing. That's the camera. That's the thing that you take the pictures with. So they have to have a tethering thing. See, that's a tethered blimp. You shouldn't know words like tether. Then that thing moves by itself. There's no man up there in that blimp. That just moves. When you say move, stop, it does. It does whatever you tell it to do.
You don't fly it, you tether it.
There you go. Another.
It's breathtaking.
Boy.
That was another thing I loved about Madden.
This doesn't matter right here. This big circle. This doesn't matter.
But another example of what I loved about Madden is he felt the need to describe everything like in depth, even things that don't need to be described, like
camera. That's the thing that you use to take the picture.
Yeah, he would say things like, usually when you get in the end zone, it's a touchdown. Like, what? Like,
yeah, what's the one time that you carry the ball into the end zone and it's not a touchdown?
Yeah, right. I mean, I guess if there's a penalty, but like, he always used to explain everything, and again, drawing on the screen with the yellow marker. Yeah. But like, it helped people learn the game. Which I really appreciated. I don't think he gets enough credit for that.
Or at least how blimps work. If you didn't know how the tethered blimps work.
If you're not learning about the game, at least learn about the blimp.
Yeah. And tether. That's your SAT word. You got to have your vocabulary ready to go.
That's right.
Yep. And then one more. And this is my favorite clip. This is the clip that this is the first thing I thought of Googling after he died, and it just made me laugh so much. Rachel was like, "What are you laughing at?" And I'm like, "You gotta see this is Madden at its essence. This is John Madden explaining what a turducken is in 2002 in a game featuring the Eagles.
Oh, nice.
So nice little callback here. Here we go. In 2002, the turducken explaining that.
But anyway, here's how you slice it. See, a lot of people don't know this. You have to slice it down the middle. See, and then you slice it across this way. Because what it is, it's a deboned chicken stuffed in a deboned duck, stuffed in a deboned turkey, with dressing between the chicken and the duck and the duck and the turkey. So as you cut down that way, you go turkey, dressing, duck, dressing, chicken.
You know, one of the great things about your coming over here is I'm able to ask you all of these questions, because for a lot of years I thought a turducken was some sort of a foul crossbreed, but it's not.
Well,
it's just three different things.
It's really five different things. It's a chicken, a duck, a turkey, and two kinds of dressings.
And are you going to have one on your Thanksgiving table?
Yeah, I'm going to have one. I have to bring it though, but you know because it. Oh, here's a picture of one.
Turducken.
Yeah,
picture. That is it.
And you see, you cut it like right down here. See, and then this is what it looks like inside. See, so you got turkey, then duck, and then dressing, and then chicken.
Oh.
And then you just have to do it that way, or. Now, if any of that makes sense.
Now, can I get some hoisin sauce with that? That's unbelievable.
You know, the first time I ever had one of these, I ate it with my fingers, and then I had to shake hands, and I didn't know whether...
Stay away from me. Second and seven, that pass is incomplete.
That happened in the middle of the third quarter, Philadelphia versus 49ers.
So, that's amazing.
And he just went in with his hands to rip open the turducken.
I was just going to say, again, audio listeners, you got to watch the podcast nowadays because we do a lot of video. He did. He just opened it with his hands. And he like starts to
he's explaining the different parts of the meat.
And he's rifling through this turducken with his bare hands during this like national broadcast.
Yeah.
That's amazing.
In the middle of the third quarter.
See, commentators nowadays, they still talk about dumb things, but they're boring.
Yeah.
Like, Madden was always so interesting and lively, and he was always booming and wow and zipping. You know, he was always, like, exclaiming and...
Boom, another layer.
Yeah.
Boom, turkey.
He's all drawing on the screen and booming and opening turkeys with his hands.
Yeah.
It was always a good time.
Knife? I don't need a knife.
Literally. He even said I ate it with my he ate it with his hands.
Yeah, so
clip.
There you go. Just I'm going to rip this apart. So
unbelievable.
There you go. Some fond memories of the late John Madden. Very sad to announce that he has officially passed away at the age of 85. But wow, the memories that you can find on YouTube and the Madden game, that they will live on. They will live on forever. And luckily, we can still enjoy those moments thanks to video games and technology and stuff like that. But with that, we got to start wrapping this up. So the sports sampler coming to an end here, but we still have plenty more shows still to come. We got the entertainment entree. We're going to talk about Spider-Man. Don't go anywhere on that. And then the non-Fortune Cookie Odd News. Plenty of shows still to come. We'll be right back here on the Crispy Noodle Podcast. Boom! Don't go anywhere. We'll be right back.
I'm Nikolai Volkov. I want you to keep listening to Crispy Noodle. Hey, that is order.
Ready for the weekend? Happy Friday. Hi, my name's Marie, and I'm an artist who's been making Happy Friday doodles every week for over 7 years. And now you can own my art collection in this Volume 1 and Volume 2 art series. These doodles span across multiple themes, yearly festivities, various countries, languages, and more. Both coffee table books have something for everyone and are the perfect conversation starter or gift for a friend. Really, anyone who enjoys a good weekend. Available on Amazon, Ingram, BookBaby, Barnes & Noble, and more. Visit happyfridaydoodles.com/books and get your copies today. Let's celebrate the best day of the week. Happy Friday.
Don't be a big stupid jellyfish. Keep on listening to the Crispy Noodle. I'm Commander Shepard, and this is my favorite podcast on the Citadel. What? Reapers are back. I should go.
Yeah, we're back here on the Crispy Noodle Podcast. We had a lot of sports news. That was like the sports course, if you will, instead of the sports sampler. But it's good. You know, sometimes you got to switch it up. You got to have more sports news, especially in the NFL lately with it being the end of the season, everything going crazy near the finish line. But also, another bit of good news here to kick off the entertainment entree is the music we're playing right here is the theme song for Barry, confirmed that it's coming back in 2022, that they filmed it.
Oh my god.
And it's coming back.
It's only been like 14 years. That's how
spoiled.
I feel. That's how I feel.
Mike is spoiled now with binge watching.
I am.
At least you admit it.
But, I can't watch shows anymore, Rich. It's becoming an actual problem.
Mike can't remember things.
No, I can't.
Yeah, that could be a little bit of a problem. But no, we'll be coming back this year. So make sure you keep Barry as part of your Google News searches because it will be coming back this year, HBO confirmed. So with that, let's launch into other entertainment news with the entertainment entree.
And now, the latest in movies.
The Simpson guy writes to movies. Dear Die Hard, you rock. Especially when that guy was on the roof.
Music.
I know what that is. That's music.
Video games.
I'm Commander Shepard, and this is my favorite store on the Citadel.
Celebrities.
You really know Warren Beatty?
Yes, I do. I took a leak next to him once at the Golden Globes.
And more.
We're the all singing, all dancing crap of the world.
This is the Entertainment Entree.
Before we get into this week in entertainment, I actually have a little addendum to mention here.
Last time we did
a podcast together was our Christmas episode, and we talked about Christmas movies.
Right.
And I wanted to mention this. My brother-in-law, he kind of got the nuts and bolts of our arguments.
Right.
That we were shooting back and forth, trying to come up the definitions of what is a Christmas movie. And he had a very interesting addendum, and I want to get your opinion on this.
Okay. I love this. Yeah.
So he suggests maybe we should add another category. We have movies that are Christmas movies.
Okay.
We have movies that are not Christmas movies.
Correct.
Could there be a middle ground in which there are movies that you happen to enjoy during Christmas that's not definitively Christmas movie?
Yeah, I've never really considered that. I guess that's what Amazon does with their alternative Christmas movie genre.
Yeah.
Alternative
holiday. Should we just accept that maybe there needs to be a third category of, you know, you get what I'm saying? Like, maybe this shouldn't be a binary argument.
I mean, you make a really good point. Very rarely do I you know, just settle for binary arguments, because not many things in life are binary like that.
Uh-huh.
So yes, there should be a third category.
Ah, okay, interesting.
Interesting.
Yes, it may be a new way to confront the problem,
because I think that gives a little bit more leeway to people who have favorite movies they like to watch around the holidays that they think are Christmas movies, like Harry Potter, which is not
Harry Potter's not a Christmas.
What
movie,
I would say is not a Christmas movie. But people's argument would be that there is a holiday movie feel with the feel goodness of it and the themes of, you know, friendship and togetherness. And a lot of Christmas movies have that theme of coming together, right?
I guess.
So it gives them a little bit of leeway. Like, you can watch this movie during the holidays because it makes you feel warm and fuzzy for the holidays, but it's still not a Christmas movie.
Okay. All right.
Is that what you're positing? Like, well, a middle ground for people who don't know what Christmas movies are.
Yes. That's
I still had to get a dig in.
That's probably what, yeah, my brother-in-law was going for in this argument. So, I don't know. I'm not buying
now,
it.
Now, okay, so you're not buying it. So
I don't know. I don't know if I like this.
Was he saying this because he's a fan of Harry Potter at Christmas?
No,
is there a specific movie?
No.
Was it Rocky IV? What was his movie that he was wanting to be a Christmas movie?
No, I think we were just kind of we were kind of getting to the end of our conversation on this.
Yeah.
And we were just trying to come up with, like, you know, some sort of succinct point, and which we failed in, by the way.
Of course.
But basically something like the thing that got me, and I think might be the best way to angle all this, is Die Hard is a Christmas movie. Die Hard 2, while it takes place on Christmas and has a lot of the same things from Die Hard 1, Die Hard 2 is not a Christmas movie.
No.
Because, there's not enough Christmassy things into the plot and into the one-liners and into the feel of that movie.
Right.
But you would still kind of like to watch it during Christmas as well.
So you agree with this point then?
That's what we were saying, but I don't know if I want to make a whole subcategory out of this.
But you just admitted that there was one.
You just put
a movie into the category, and then you said the category doesn't exist.
I'm just saying,
you can't have your cake and eat it too.
I'm 50-50 on that. I don't know if I like this. This is one of those things. Maybe I'll green light, but I don't know if I want to pull the plug.
Okay, there was a lot of analogies in there. It's a 50-50 that I'll green light, but I won't pull the plug. But
there
I will actively assign movies to this category.
I don't know. I got to give it a test drive. I got to see if it works.
Eyes Wide Shut.
Christmas movie.
Edward Scissorhands.
Absolutely. Christmas movie. That's fine.
Christmas movie?
Yeah.
Harry Potter.
No, not a Christmas movie.
Is that an in-between genre?
No, that's not anything. I don't know why that even got labeled. That has like two scenes in Christmas. It really does. Like, I don't understand why that... Whoever was HBO, why did they put that under Christmas movies? That's complete BS.
Okay.
So I don't know. I don't know if the system will work, but it, I don't know. I'm willing to give it a very weak shot.
Rocky IV.
Christmas movie.
No. BS. Oh, my God. Ridiculous. We'll see. I like it. I like it. We'll have to revisit it
every single Christmas episode of the podcast. We're going to revisit it. But there you go. A little addendum from last week. All right. Now, with that in mind, let's get to our regularly planned content, especially this part where Mike is going to let you know what to keep an eye out for in movies, TV, and video game with Mike's this week in entertainment. All righty. What do you got, Mike?
All right. In television, we have two interesting shows. First, Cobra Kai came back to Netflix with season 4 on New Year's Eve.
Cobra Kai, do or die. Woo!
So I believe you said you've already watched the entire thing.
Yes.
Okay. And review-wise, was it as good as the first three seasons?
It was very good. I enjoyed it. I love to see all the weird people they brought back from the three Karate Kid movies, which I can't believe how well they've done at this.
Yeah.
It's been amazing.
It has been.
If you love the Karate Kid movies, you gotta watch Cobra Kai. It is so good.
I'll say this as an amendment to that. Even if you did not watch or necessarily enjoy all of the Karate Kid movies, or maybe you're only a passing fan like me, you'll still enjoy it because the story is enjoyable and fun, and it hits that 80s nostalgia. It brings back the characters that you'll remember from the first movie, at least. They do a really good job with walking that fine line between corny and, you know, teen melodrama, and it's just a really good roller coaster ride of a show that doesn't take itself too seriously, hits all the right notes with action, humor, sentimental moments. So go check out Cobra Kai on Netflix. Rich made me a supporter, and so I'm going to make you guys supporters. Let's do it.
Yes.
Cobra Kai.
Do or die.
That's right. But in terms of new shows coming out this week, this may be of interest to local listeners. Abbott Elementary. Sounds like an odd show, not one that we normally talk about. It's currently airing on ABC. It's picking up after premiering its pilot episode before the holidays. So this is episode 2 this week. The show is a mockumentary workplace comedy following passionate teachers and a bumbling principal in an underfunded public school in Philadelphia.
Woo, Philly!
So getting center stage on ABC. This should be really interesting. Reviewers are already pretty positive on the series. They're saying that it's not afraid to deal with class issues, but also finds plenty of opportunities for humor and lightheartedness. Imagine basically The Office in a underfunded public school. I feel like if you've worked in schools or if you've been in schools, you know how ridiculous.
Have you gone to school?
You know how ridiculous these settings can be. So now imagine a film crew trying to make a documentary about that and it going horribly wrong because it's set in Philadelphia.
Fantastic.
So go check it out. They say that reviewers are saying it could become something special. So that's Abbott Elementary, once again, airing on ABC. And finally, in video games, a new month equals new free games for PlayStation Plus and Xbox Live Gold subscribers. PlayStation Plus gamers specifically get Deep Rock Galactic on PlayStation 4 and PlayStation 5.
Yeah, Mikey, you gotta get this.
Yeah, and I put that in there because Rich told me he's been diving into that as a space dwarf miner fighting aliens, I think.
It is so cool. It's like the right balance of everything. It's first person, but also tactical objectives, but also like the art is really cool and trippy and spacey.
Okay.
It's so much fun, especially if you get a group of four of your friends or actually you don't even need four. You can do missions with two or three people.
Oh, nice.
So, yeah, it's not like Grand Theft Auto heist where you have to have four.
Oh, thank God.
Yeah, you can have two, three, or four, and it's a lot of fun. You fight monsters that are trying to stop your mission, and there's a lot of comedy. There's a lot of tongue-in-cheek humor. This is a game. If it's free, you got to get it.
Yeah, I'm really hoping that they enable cross-platform and cross-play here because it's already out on PC. It'd be great to play with, you know, friends and family across all different consoles and and ways of playing. So I'm really looking forward to Deep Rock Galactic. If you're a PlayStation gamer, make sure you pick that up for free this month. And that wraps it up for this week in entertainment.
All right, Mikey, thank you for that segment this week in entertainment. But we know what Mike is really here for tonight. Mike is repping the colors. He's repping the T-shirt. It's time
right.
to talk about Spider-Man No Way Home. We're going to get into probably, I imagine we're going to get into spoiler spoiler territory. So here's our official warning for you.
It's a spoiler. Ooh, it's a spoiler. Don't listen. Go away.
Yep, it's been out for a couple of weeks now. So if you haven't seen it, I think you need to fast forward here on the podcast. And
yes, absolutely fast forward, because we don't want to spoil a single thing for anyone here.
Yep.
All
right, Mikey, what did you think of Spider-Man No Way Home?
Absolutely brilliant.
Yes.
I mean, without a doubt, it deserves every ounce of accolade, every ounce of recognition, every commercial and critical success that it's gotten so far. I went in with sky-high expectations, and they were all exceeded.
Yes. Yeah.
I mean, I went in expecting the best Spider-Man movie ever made, and
you got it.
I got the best Spider-Man movie ever made.
Yes.
I mean, and this is a character who has, you know, 8 films across 3 different series and also appearances in other MCU films. The best, period, Spider-Man, period, movie ever, period.
Yeah, this was, I knew coming to the end of that movie that Mike had to be very ecstatic over this movie. This was a grand slam. They were able to tackle the multiverse, the different Spider-Man villains, the different Spider-Man themselves, closing out this kind of chapter with Tom Holland. I mean, this was just a grand slam. This is exactly what you wanted out of the initial trilogy of Spider-Man movies between Homecoming, Far From Home, and No Way Home. So, yeah, it was just brilliant.
Yeah. Man, so many things to talk about. So, right off the bat, you know, I know we played the spoiler stinger, but I'm still going to try and, you know, not get too explicit. We can if we want to, but just for the sake of, you know, anybody out there who may have accidentally listened to this, I'll just say that, you know, it subverts expectations. Right. So all the trailers and everything lead you to believe that it's going to be Sinister Six. And it wasn't.
No.
And I think that was the thing that I loved the most going into it, is that I thought that the trailers showed everything. Right. You know, they come out. The trailer's got Doc Ock. It's got Green Goblin. Those aren't spoilers. We knew they were going to happen. Electro, Sandman. We knew all the villains who were going to be in it. Everybody was basically confirmed. There were no villain surprises.
Yep.
They were all shown in the trailers, and yet how they handled the villains and how Spider-Man handled the villains was completely unique. And I don't think anybody expected it to go the route that it did, where instead of, I said I was going to try and avoid spoilers, but I'm just going to talk about it.
Yeah.
Instead of trying to beat the villains, right, in classical superhero fashion, Spider-Man takes on the weight of that added responsibility of doing right by the villains. Right.
Yeah, trying to help them and get them back to their universes.
Right. Take the responsibility of, you know, it's not enough to just like beat somebody to a pulp. Like, because of him and his actions and other Spider-Man's actions in other universes, these characters all had untimely, grisly ends. And so he's saying, this is not right. It's not right to say that you're a good guy and defeat these villains, and you know, if they die, they die, whatever. He's trying to be
better.
Little
Drago there, yeah.
Yeah, he's trying to be better than that. Spider-Man as a hero does not kill his enemies. So he's trying to, you know, make right not only his own problems and the own his own fault in bringing them here, but also try to help them as individuals.
Yeah, you know? That was a new take on the superhero story.
Yeah, it was a new take on superheroes. I mean, in the MCU, I mean, the good guy beats up the bad guy. You know?
Unless the bad guy's going to be in a sequel.
Right, unless the bad guy's going to be in a sequel. But in this, it was quite the opposite. I really, you know, enjoyed Act 2 of the movie, where it kind of slowed things down, and you got a chance to know all these characters outside of just, you know, their combat prowess.
Yeah.
Which was really interesting.
Yeah. I really loved... I didn't think I was going to love it as much, but I really did love the interaction between Tobey Maguire, Andrew Garfield, and Tom Holland, various Spider-Men. That was like slapstick comedy at its finest, you know, between like someone saying Peter and they're all like, huh? Who? And then Peter Parker. Huh? That still doesn't help. We're all Peter Parker. Like, that was some great comedy timing.
Yeah.
Between the three of them.
And, man, the fact that I knew they were going to do it. You know, not that I had read any spoilers or rumors or anything, but you don't bring back all the villains and not go the extra step.
Yeah.
You know, because the villains arguably are the bigger name actors who are supposed to be harder to get.
Willem Dafoe is still awesome. He could be the Green Goblin for the next five movies, as far as I'm concerned. He's awesome.
I was not prepared for him to... I thought it'd be retreading old ground to make these guys the big bads again, but they did a really good job of making it work.
Yeah.
Especially Willem Dafoe. Because the key thing with Spider-Man villains, I've talked about this at length before, is they're not just villains to Spider-Man, they're villains to Peter Parker.
Yeah.
What I mean by that is they all have a personal connection with him, which is why Spider-Man has the added responsibility of doing right by them. Which is why Willem Dafoe, as Norman Osborn, takes a different tact in how he approaches defeating Spider-Man. Everybody else comes out swinging. What does Norman Osborn do? Oh, I'm lost. I'm scared. I don't know what to do. Classic mental, emotional manipulation, and it hits that much harder. It hits that much better when the heel turn happens.
Ooh, using wrestling terminology. Yeah. I love it.
Because that's what it is. Because as you're sitting there as the audience, you're going, oh, no. And it's like slowly dawning on you. And the characters are just a half second, half step behind you. And it makes for a really great end to Act 2, which, another point, the end of Act 2, MCU not pulling their punches. I don't remember character deaths quite as prominent or impactful as the one that happens in Spider-Man.
Yes. I believe we're talking about the same one here.
Yeah.
Well, it's
the only person that dies.
Yeah, right. So, yeah. I had a feeling that was going to happen at some point, because there's always some tragedy in terms of a parental figure with Spider-Man.
Yes.
So, I thought that would be coming in this movie.
But what characters have died in MCU that have had that much screen time and that much significance outside Black Widow? Which, when that happened, I didn't feel anything.
Iron Man.
He's the only one.
Yeah.
He's the only one.
Well, Captain America doesn't die. He just kind of goes off in the sunset. Yeah, I guess that's a fair point.
I mean, there's like 30 movies and you're struggling to name a second character.
Yeah.
So in all these movies...
Killmonger.
Killmonger.
I love Michael B. Jordan.
Actually, that death was impactful. Yeah. You're right. But the point that I'm getting at is... And I made this point to Jordan after he saw the film, is that so the MCU movies are supposed to be kind of like lighthearted and action-y, and they don't really linger on moments like that because they want you to stay in the moment. They want you to stay on the roller coaster. They don't want you to get too sad and depressed because it's Disney, it's action films.
Yeah, this isn't
it's
DC.
Superheroes.
That's DC's shtick.
Yeah, well, that death... So one of the key things with writing is when a scene makes you uncomfortable, you can't bail too early, right? And the MCU has this habit of bailing early. Like, something bad, like Black Widow dies, and they're like, cool, see ya. And they're gone, and they never talk about it again.
Yeah.
Okay. But Iron Man as well. Snap, cool. Immediately go to a funeral. They like it's big and it was emotional, but in the moment it just happens. This was like heart-wrenching.
Yeah.
Like it was a prolonged scene where you're like, "Oh, okay, she's fine because MCU." And then all of a sudden it's not. And then it gets worse. And then it continues to get worse. And Spider-Man is impacted by this death throughout the rest of the film. Yeah. And you never really see that in the MCU, characters dealing with something that viscerally for that long.
I liked the when they get to the final fight with Goblin, that he takes his anger out, and it requires another Spider-Man to, like, pull him back. Like,
yeah.
You know.
Like, that's not the way.
Right.
Yeah. I love it so much.
It was a great movie. How about this, since we could, I know you could talk Spider-Man
all
day.
I could literally make an entire podcast about this movie.
Yeah. Right. So we gotta keep it short because Odd News is coming up next.
Yeah.
Where would you put this in terms of the entire Marvel Cinematic Universe?
Top five.
Yeah. Top five.
Oh, absolutely. I think there's very few movies, if any, that match this for pacing, for emotional weight, for the off-screen brilliance of pulling this together. Such an elaborate story that requires so many moving parts and deals and people to come together and work together. Not only are you crossing over movies, but universes and entire series.
Yeah.
But the story was also a lot of fun, rock solid, superior character growth and evolution. Not to mention, serious game-changing implications for the characters and the universe. So, like, this movie hits, like, every single checkbox. Like, there's not one thing that it doesn't leave untouched, in my opinion. So I think it's easily top five.
Okay. And then my last question is going to be, where does Spider-Man go from here? Because...
Symbiote.
Yeah, the final scene... Yeah, there was a little black goo left behind.
So this is not uncommon in Spider-Man. A lot of his characters about loss and sacrifice, right? Loses Uncle Ben, loses Aunt May, loses Gwen Stacy, loses his abilities at times, loses his self when he takes on the symbiote. This movie represented the ultimate loss and sacrifice, and so the only way to go is he's going to strike out on his own. It's going to be completely fresh, clean slate, which allows them so much creative freedom. And part of striking out alone is, you know, he's going to have to deal with that darkness. And that invites perfectly the theme of the symbiote is, you know, he's going to come across enemies that require extra power. He's going to find the symbiote. He's going to bond with it. He's going to use that power. This is going to be the next trilogy. The first one is going to be First movie is going to be, I've thought a lot about this clearly.
Yes, you have.
Is him struggling with this new aloneness. Because now he's truly alone.
But does this bring back Tom Hardy into the, like, is this really going to be what?
No. See, this is the brilliant thing, is that allows both studios ultimate freedom. Because now Sony can basically cast whoever they want as Spider-Man and be like, multiverse. And Marvel can cast whoever they want as Venom and be like, Venom. Like, it doesn't have to be Tom Hardy. I assume Sony would want Tom Hardy, but it doesn't have to be.
Okay.
Right? They both get the best of both worlds. You know? So I think it's the best solution here. But I think initially movie 4 and 5 are going to be Spider-Man finding the symbiote and 5 using it. And 6 will somehow be a confrontation with Venom. I think that's the direction. I think they're using where the very first Spider-Man trilogy failed in doing all of this in about an hour and a half. They're going to try and take their time. That's the way that I would do it.
Okay. There you go. Spider-Man expert Mikey on the scene giving us his predictions here. I will say it was a great movie. I'm going to see it again.
Everybody go see it again. Everybody go see it. If you listen to the segment without seeing it, why?
Who are you? But no, it was pretty good. Definitely. I had a blast with that movie.
You're not as big a Spider-Man fan as me.
Yes, you're definitely Mr. Spider-Man.
Before we get out of this, I'm clearly a little biased. Where would you rank? And I'm interested.
I would say it's probably around, out of all of the, what is it, 25 Marvel movies there have been now?
I think it's closer crazy. To 30, but
oh
yeah.
Oh my gosh, yeah, it's crazy. I'd say it is like around like that five spot. It's very good. It hits all the notes, like you said, perfectly.
It is
perfectly.
Like shockingly good.
Yeah, it's probably in that 5-6 range in terms of all those Marvel movies that okay. I've seen. Yeah, it's definitely up there.
Yeah, so well-deserving.
Yes. All right, now with that, it's time to get to something else that's well-deserved, the return of the non-fortune cookie-odd news.
We've been talking about cool and its ramifications and how it applies to the hip scene, but maybe you could give us some examples now of the opposite of cool, uncool. Just exactly what is uncool?
My nipples look like milk duds.
Holy shnikes.
It's time for the non-fortune cookie-odd news.
It's not of this world. I don't know exactly what it is or what it's doing, but this is not human intelligence, okay? It's not human intelligence we're facing!
How you doing? Me? I'm doing great.
Mandada bastata. I don't make this stuff up.
I'll take a pound of nuts.
That's a lot of nuts! That'll be $4, baby! You want fries with that?
I've seen the celery dance across the baseball fields.
You had me at meat tornado.
No, go past this. Pass this part. In fact, never play this again.
Okay. what does that mean?
And now it's time for the non-fortune cookie odd news.
So sit back, get everything you need to get from the kitchen. Be sure and empty the bladders. Go to the bathroom because you're in for hell, right?
Odd news.
That's right, everyone. It's time for the non-fortune cookie odd news. Here in this segment, Rich researches the news, he reads the news, and I react to the news. He finds a weird and wacky story, keeps it hidden from me, which ensures that my reactions are my genuine gut reactions to hearing the story for the very first time. I don't know what's about to happen. You guys don't know what's about to happen. And even Rich doesn't know what's about to happen because these stories always take us down wacky and wild paths. Where are we heading to this week? Is it Florida?
Now, who is this guy in Florida?
It's Florida, and they're crazy.
Oh, yeah.
Should have known.
We're back in Florida.
All right.
You know what? Because this is the Spider-Man kind of episode, I could read this story in kind of a multi-view kind of way.
Okay.
Because if you take what happened in this odd news story at what everybody perceived it to be,
okay,
it seemed to be a holdup. Unfortunately, here, 28-year-old Edward Rodriguez held up a Waffle House in Madison, which is a city that is 55 miles east of Tallahassee. So yeah, he's unfortunately not a good guy here. Tried to rob this lovely Waffle House here.
Not good.
He was successful in gaining money and walking out of the joint. But later he was arrested and confessed to his crime. Now, if we were to take the actual view of what happened in this, it's the same story, but the lens of the multiverse. And instead, we're going to review what happened.
Okay.
Because the cops got curious as to how this all unfolded. And luckily, there was a security camera in the Waffle House.
Okay.
And upon further review, they noticed that this dude, Edward Rodriguez, actually walked into the joint and he did not actually present a gun, but rather he used finger guns to demand the waitress to give him the money.
What you just said is one of the most insanely idiotic things I have ever heard. At no point in your rambling, incoherent response were you even close to anything that could be considered a rational thought. Everyone in this room is now dumber for having listened to it. I award you no points, and may God have mercy on your soul.
So, he's just using finger guns?
Yes!
He's like, pew, pew, pew!
Yes, give me the money!
Oh
yes!
Oh my God.
So,
does that count as...
So, look, I know you want to feel bad for the waitresses and stuff. Nobody wants to die over a robbery and everything like that.
But they can't.
Yeah, like, come on.
He can't make bullets come out of his fingers.
I know this is a stressful situation, but come on. You got to look at the dude clearly and be like, no, what are you doing, you crazy person?
Yeah.
That's not a real gun. Those are your fingers.
Like, so obviously if they were able to see it in the video, he was just holding out his hand, right? He wasn't doing like a Godfather where his like hand is in his pocket.
No, he's literally doing this.
He's literally just doing
the finger gun.
The finger gun. So, right. I mean, I get it. It's still a crime, but is it?
Yeah.
It sounds like a bad joke is what it sounds like.
Yep. Cops also noted that he was wearing a bright yellow SpongeBob shirt. So,
okay, all right.
You know,
to each their own.
I don't know if you can consider this guy very serious here. He did.
He's like the least threatening criminal ever. He comes in wearing a SpongeBob shirt, waving around his finger like he's six and he's on the playground.
Yeah. Like, this doesn't seem that very, very intimidating, if you will.
No.
I don't know.
What time did he do this again?
This happened around 8 p.m.
So it's not even like particularly like late or like in the middle of the night or like early morning. Like it's just like people are still lingering after dinner.
Yeah. Also, he had a leash on his right hand, and that was because he was also walking his small dog at the same time.
This dude was literally walking his dog. He's like, doo, 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 just going about his business. He's like, you know what? I think I'm going to hold up this Waffle House.
I'm going to see if it works.
I'm just going to give it a shot.
I'm going to give it the old college try.
That's right, the old college try. Yeah.
Let's see what happens.
Like, I'm fully convinced this thought just popped into his head, and he's like, sure, why not just try?
Yeah, let's
see. Because you don't bring your dog to a crime.
Maybe the dog will be a distraction.
Yeah, right?
Look at the dog. Now give me money.
He would have been more threatening if he threw the dog at them.
Yeah.
Yeah, right? How small was this small dog? It's like a tiny little chihuahua. It's like a little like ankle biter.
Yeah. Hey, they bite.
They do. The smaller the dog, the more vicious they are.
Give me a grand or you're going to get bitten on the ankle.
Yeah, he holds up his dog and just like... like squeezes it at them.
Also, in the middle of this fake robbery, he also randomly demanded napkins.
I mean, to pick up after his dog, probably.
Oh, that makes sense. Oh, very good.
This person's goal? I'm so confused.
Yes.
I don't understand. I just imagine he's walking his dog and just decides to do this, because I don't think you bring your dog to a crime, and then he asks for napkins. Like, so he's just not a threatening individual. Like, this is...
No.
I think it was just a bad joke gone wrong.
Yeah.
Like, how serious was he? Like, was he, like, angry, or was he like, give me the money. I'll take a number one. You know, like, was it, like, an actual crime?
Right. And then the waitress is like, here you go. Oh, my God, it actually worked.
Yeah, he's like, uh-oh.
I can't believe this worked. Yeah. To me, I hate to say it, I gotta fault the waitress. What do you do? Like, come on.
I think that this was a bad joke gone wrong.
You didn't see the whole package put together.
Right, a dude with a SpongeBob shirt walking his tiny yappy dog with a finger gun.
Yeah.
He asked for napkins as well.
Yeah, what serious robber, decides he needs to clean up in the middle of his robbery?
Well, many of them.
Well, I mean...
In the odd news, at least.
I mean, I don't know. Not like this.
No, not like this.
They usually have, like, a microfiber towel or something like that. No, not regular napkins.
No.
So, this guy, Rodriguez, was eventually arrested. He was bonded out of custody after he posted a $10,000 bond.
For finger guns?
Right. So here's what...
What?
Right. So you have to remember, when they called this into the cops, they said this guy threatened them with a gun. So
immediately, no.
So he was originally charged with armed robbery.
I would be super pissed, and I would try to, like, there has to be some sort of legal argument here that he was not armed.
Right. So initially, he was charged with armed robbery. But after reviewing the footage, He was able to reduce the charge to a disorderly conduct rap.
Yeah, because he walked in with a finger gun. I think that's slightly worse than like a water gun.
Yeah.
I think a water gun carries a stricter charge.
In all my years of doing Odd News, I've never heard of a guy going from a felony, you know, armed robbery all the way down to just disorderly conduct.
Yeah.
He's fine.
Our bad. Sorry, buddy.
Yeah, he's harmless. Don't worry.
I'll tell you, they probably didn't refund that bond.
Probably not. I don't know.
That is so scummy.
But I don't know. I've just never heard of anything that de-escalated that far down.
That is such a wild swing.
Yeah.
usually things escalate wildly. This was like the opposite.
Yeah.
It started at an 11 and ended at like a -2.
Right. Like a disorderly conduct, you can get that here for going to
if I shout outside too loud, it's probably...
You're probably going to get a disorderly conduct when you go to the Eagles game on Saturday.
Probably.
Like, this is nothing. But he goes from that... He goes here from armed robbery.
Man alive.
Yeah. Due to the nature of the incident, though, he is still not allowed to come close to the Waffle House or purchase or drink alcohol or possess or buy a firearm.
Was he drunk?
Maybe he was a little bit drunk. That makes a little bit of sense.
Because why else would they prevent him from drinking alcohol?
Yeah, maybe he was a little bit drunk in the middle of this. I mean, look.
He's walking his dog.
The dude is walking his dog, has a SpongeBob shirt on, threatens to rob the Waffle House, and needs napkins. It's a very weird list of requests.
It's very odd.
Yeah. And that's why we feature it, the Odd News.
You're right. I agree. The waitress is at fault here.
I think the waitress.
I think this dude was a little tipsy. He's walking his dog. He's like, man, I could go for a waffle. He walks in and he'd be like, wouldn't it be funny if I held my finger up and pretend that I was like robbing them and he was just joking around? And then he did it. And then all of a sudden,
it actually worked.
He's like, oh, whoops. Yeah. No, this is totally, I'm convinced that this was a terrible joke gone wrong.
Yeah. Well, unfortunately, he still will have slight legal trouble, but not as much as he could have if he actually did brandish a weapon there. I find fault with the waitress. Come on.
Yeah.
You got to put the whole picture together.
Yeah.
Like, come on.
Fingers are not guns.
SpongeBob shirt. Come on.
SpongeBob shirt. Tiny dog. Finger
bright
gun.
Yellow SpongeBob shirt.
Guess I asked you for napkins. Like, I don't.
Yeah. I don't know.
No.
Yeah. I don't.
He's not the image of a felon.
I don't think you can trust this waitress with your business. I think you might want to. Take her down a rung. Like, I don't know. Go back to like junior level. I don't know. Whatever entry level. I don't know. Whatever
what are the ranks of waitressing?
Yeah, I don't know. Take her back to step one.
She becomes a busboy.
Yeah, I don't know. Because I don't know. I think you got to be able to put the whole picture together. Like, come on.
Yeah.
So there you go. That's the non-Fortune Cookie Odd News. And with that, the night is getting late. So we got to start wrapping this up. Thank you guys for tuning in to the Crispy Noodle Podcast. If you like what you heard, make sure you go to our website, thecrispynoodle.com. Make sure you follow us on all the social media, Hubbleblue, Facebook, Twitter, Instagram, all that fun stuff.
That's right. In addition to all that, you can also subscribe to the YouTube channel where you can find the video versions of these podcasts. But you can
you got to find the videos so you can watch Madden with
us.
Yeah,
exactly. It's more important than ever to get the video version of the podcast. However, you can still get the audio-only version of the podcast by searching for, downloading, and subscribing to the Crispy Noodle Podcast on iTunes, Stitcher, Spotify, Google Podcasts, and Amazon devices. So once again, search for, download, and subscribe to the Crispy Noodle Podcast on YouTube or the podcast service of your choice.
That's right. We also have a SoundCloud page where we have mini noodles, the best bits of the show from the archives of the Crispy Noodle Podcast. You can have a quick laugh in a 1 to 2 minute promo clip, and you can easily share it with friends and family, the craziness that is the Crispy Noodle Podcast.
That's right. Plenty of ways to share and get in touch with the Crispy Noodle Podcast. If you want to get in touch with us individually on Twitter to share your sports, entertainment, or odd news stories, you can find us there. I'm @MikeyCostanzo, MikeyCostanzo.
And I am at Rich Liebig, R-I-C-H-L-I-E-B-I-G. Find us on the Twitters. Let us know what's happening. If you've got an odd news story that you want us to talk about, send it my way. If you got a general news story you want us to talk about, send it to either of us. If you want to talk about Spider-Man, you got to hit up Mikey.
Absolutely.
Because he needs a full-blown hour podcast on his own.
Oh, absolutely.
So he wants to talk about this at length. So if you go see Spider-Man or you've already seen it, make sure you tweet at Mikey Costanzo and let him know what you think future plans are for your neighborhood-friendly Spider-Man. But for right now, we got to start wrapping this up. This has been the Crispy Noodle Podcast. Let us be the crispy noodle in your vegetarian salad of life and boring news. Anything else, Mike?
No, that's it. Go see Spider-Man, folks.
There you go, and that will do it. We'll see you guys next week.
See you guys.
Later. Bye-bye, all you fine people.
Some of us have great stories, pretty stories that take place at lakes with boats and friends and noodle salad. A lot of people, that's their story. Good times, noodle salad.